Hallelujah. It's just amazing how God changes and transforms lives. And we all have a testimony, don't we? If Christ is in you, you have a testimony. There is evidence. There's evidence that Christ is in you. You don't have to ask the preacher if you're saved, if you're saved. Because you have that witness in you. This Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. That you're His son and His daughter. And so I just love to see change, you know. I like to see change in my own life, by the way. I need change. We all need to be changed. And we prayed this morning, we prayed, Lord, change us. We don't want to be the same. We want to be changed. We want to look more like the one we love. More like Jesus all the time. And often you've said this before, but you come into a place and you say, you know, you look familiar. And you look familiar too. And well, I hope it's Jesus that you're seeing, right? It's a family resemblance there. How many have discovered that? You know, you can encounter people that are really walking in the Spirit. And as soon as you meet them, it's like you just know. Because there's a family resemblance. You see Christ. Amen. And people who knew you before and see you now say, yeah, there's definitely been a change there. And no doctor, no psychiatrist, no drug could fix that problem, right? But God can. God can do it. God can set any captive free by the blood of the Lamb. In the word of our testimony, we overcome the world. How many know, as we said before, that your testimony today for what God did yesterday can bring yesterday into your today?
Amen.
So if you're testifying about what God did then, you can bring that same anointing into your now. And the devil hates it when you tell your story, when you share your story with somebody. So share your story. Amen. Tell people. Look what the Lord has done. Be honest about yourself because they're going to see the flaws. All right? Just be honest about yourself, but let them know what God has done in your life. And it's powerful. It can bring that same anointing in, even as Peter began to share about the Holy Spirit. You know, those who listened to the report of the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they were all filled. Yeah. Why? Because what happened before, God can bring into the now. So let's never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Hallelujah. You've heard it said, you can take someone out of Egypt, but then you got to get Egypt out of the person, right? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about coming out of Egypt. Coming out of Egypt. I'd like to just to pray. Father, in the name of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, we ask that you would captivate our hearts and our minds to what the Holy Spirit is saying today. Lord, we are in agreement with you. We pray, Lord, you'd open our understanding today. Sow your word into our hearts and seal it. Transform us by it in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, Amen. You may be seated. And if you will listen to this message, I mean, please pay attention to what's being said today. It can change your life. Okay, it will change your life if you'll receive what God is saying today. All right, we pray, we trust, and we allow the Holy Spirit to work here. Okay. God wants His people ready for Him. He wants us prepared for Him. He's coming for a bride. He's coming for a pure and spotless bride. He's coming for a church that is ready. He's coming for a people who are looking for His return. A people who are looking for His return are going to purify themselves. And so God wants to do a work in our hearts today. So let's allow Him to do that. Sometimes the truth hurts, but the truth is good. The truth is what sets you free. You've heard it said, no pain, no gain. In the Old Testament, Egypt represents the world. And when we say world, it's not the earth. When we talk about the world, we're talking about, the word is cosmos. In 1 John, it talks about not loving the world, the cosmos. That's that evil system of Antichrist, where Satan rules in the unseen realm and infects humanity. And so that's the world that we have come out of and that we are coming out of in Christ. So it's not this thing about separating yourself from everything in the earth and becoming a monk in some monastery on a hill. That's not God's purpose. Thank God that's not His purpose. His purpose is for us to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. We have to be in the world, but we're not of, right, the world. So we are to shine as lights in the darkness. And the best place for a light to be is where? In the darkness, right? Now, the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, had cried out to God in their misery, in their bondage, you know, under the slavery of Egypt and Pharaoh, the hard taskmaster. Pharaoh represents Satan. And so they were in his camp. They were ruled harshly by him, controlled by him. They were dictated to day in and day out, when they got up, when they went to bed, when they could eat. Everything was dictated. They were completely controlled. How many know that the devil is a control freak? And he wants to control people. He wants to steal your freedom. He wants to take away your will. You know, when we serve the Lord, He doesn't take your will away. He wants you to submit it. Amen. The devil wants to steal your will and control you. God wants you to yield yourself, your will, willingly, and cooperate with Him. Are you with me? Yep. So what we do is we walk together with the Lord in a relationship where we yield ourselves to His will. And as we yield ourselves to His will, we will find that we will be sustained by Him. He will feed us. He will nourish and strengthen us spiritually as we yield ourselves to His will. There is a daily provision of His presence, which is the bread of God, the true bread that came down from heaven. That's Christ. As we abide in His will, as we do His will, we are fed. We are completed in the will of God. So everyone here is called to the will of God, to willingly submit or yield your will to the will of your Father. So God raised up Moses to deliver His people, right, out of bondage. And Moses himself, you know, had to go through quite a process, a preparation, to be ready and to be equipped and ready to lead God's people out of this, out of bondage. Now, Moses had come to a place in his life where he really did not have much confidence in himself. And if you're here today and you say, I don't have a lot of confidence in myself, good. Because now you can find confidence in someone greater. Amen. Amen. Who will become your confidence. You will be confident in God. And so it's not arrogant, but it's confident, amen, in God. Arrogance is me, you know, using my own will to control and manipulate. But God's will, amen, is something that I willingly yield to. And when you come to a place in your life where you're like, you know what, I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. I've been trying to work it out. I've been trying to make it happen. You know, it's never worked that way for me. Has anybody discovered it just doesn't work that way? You've got to come to a place, and God has to bring us to a place where we are broken, where we are submitted, where we're yielded, where we're done with ourselves. We're done with our ways. So then we become user-friendly. We become, you know, pliable in His hands. Now we become a vessel that He can trust. Because He's not going to give us something if it means that we're going to go out and we're going to become selfish with what He gave. Amen? He wants us to be in a place where we are yielded to Him and filled with His love so that when He gives us something, it's not going to be for us, but it's going to be for someone else. And so when we come here, it's not just for us, but it's for someone else as well. So you know the story how God delivered the Hebrew people out of bondage, but He did what? He saved them by the blood of the Lamb. He saved them by what? The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb represents the blood of who? Jesus, right? So when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, you know, Christ came, Christ died. Even while we were still sinners, Christ died. Amen? And He bought us, He purchased us with His own blood, and He saved us out of the bondage of Egypt. Now, hear this. There was a separation that took place in Egypt first. A separation of life and death. It began there. When the death angel was released, finally, after the 10th plague came in, the death angel came over, amen, the households, and when he saw the blood, he passed over. Those who were covered by the blood were spared. Prior to all this happening, God was working something out. And I want us to take a look at this. God, first of all, God was working in Moses. God was working in Pharaoh. God was working in the whole situation. The whole situation the Hebrews were in was not because God was mean, but because they put themselves there by rebelling against Him. How many know that when you rebel against God, it always leads into bondage? What we thought was freedom became bondage. What was normal now to me is abnormal. Because I've come out of that. Amen? I've come out of darkness and I'm now in light. So, a series of events took place here. And God didn't want His people halfway out of Egypt. He wanted them completely out of Egypt. Tracking so far? You cannot remain halfway in Egypt, amen, and experience God's blessing. God wants His people free and free indeed. God does not want us serving Pharaoh anymore. Pharaoh wants you and I to serve God in His camp. And we're going to look at this today. This is where the problem lies for so many who do not overcome the world, is because they are not completely divorcing themselves. I mean completely divorcing themselves from death. They're not completely coming out of Egypt. They still have affections. They still have tethers or ties to the old way. They're not letting it all go. They're holding on to certain things, and the certain things that you hold on to serve as tethers to keep you tethered to Satan. God wants to sever those ties. He wants to break every chain, loose every captive, and completely liberate you out of all bondage. Out of all bondage. God's people are not to be bound by anything. We are a spouse to Him. We are to serve only Him. God never redeems a person to leave them in the same state they were in before. Why? Because this is a new journey. It's a new beginning. It's a brand new life. It's not a patch job. It's a brand new life in Christ. This is the awesome thing. We are called to live a separate life. We are called out ones. We're the church, ecclesia, right? Called out ones. Called out to do what? To join ourselves to Christ and His purpose, His mission in the earth. To be a pure people, a bride, amen, that is beautiful and that is ready for the time when He shall return to receive His church, His bride. God is working on delivering us completely out of Egypt. See, there are some people who they make a decision for Jesus, but they don't break all the ties to Egypt. And as long as they are holding those ties to Egypt, they are bound to Egypt. You can worship there. You can raise your hands. You can shout. You can dance there in Egypt. I want you to hear this. But you're not going to be free until you completely and utterly disown, amen, the old, so you can walk in the new. Now, it's no mystery to most of us here, but much of the modern day preaching today is focused on temporary pleasure, of having it all now. I mean, there's books out there right now that are entitled Your Best Life Now. And while that sounds good, I want to hopefully expose something here, folks, because whatever is exposed by the light, a man cannot stand. God does not want His people deceived. He does not want His people believing the false grace gospel that's being presented today. This is a gospel that requires no sacrifice, no cross, no turning away of the old, but simply adding to the old with the new. In other words, it's like a patch job Christianity. And as long, again, as people are tethered to Egypt, even though they may prosper financially, seem to have it all together, in their souls they can be completely impoverished. Because the devil is a thief, and Pharaoh had stolen from the people of Israel. He had stripped them, and they became slaves to do his bidding. And so sometimes he will offer you a bargain. He'll try to get you and I to strike a bargain with him, to compromise with him, to strike a deal. All right. To say, well, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm partially out. Yeah, I still have affections here and there. I still kind of go back and play a little bit in this and play a little bit in that. But I'm partially out. That counts for something, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Why? Because as long as you're tethered, as long as you're still partially in Egypt, you're still connected or tethered to the wicked one. And God says, I want every tie, every soul tie severed. I want you free from all demonic oppression. There are people who claim to be followers of Jesus, are you with me, who are really not. Just because somebody claims to be a Christian, amen, doesn't make him a Christian. And there are many in the pulpit today, let me just say, who are not Christians either. But they're supposedly preaching a Christian doctrine. They are eliminating the cross from the equation. They are presenting to people an easy road. A smooth life, an easy way, are you hearing me? That requires no sacrifice. That requires no suffering. Oh, we don't want to hear about that. So I'm not going to sit here and listen to this. I'm going to go over there where they tell me everything is going to be just wonderful. Come on, living half of my life in Egypt. Don't touch my Egypt life, okay? We're good. You can tell me about all the good things and all the promises of God, but don't touch my Egypt life now. Now it's getting personal. You know what, folks? God loves us enough to tell us the truth. He loves us enough to say, listen, I can't bless you there. You've got to divorce yourself from that. You've got to come out of Egypt. You've got to completely come out of Egypt. You know, this type of Christianity being offered today often is, I want you to hear this, it's tolerant. It's non-offensive. We don't want to offend anybody, so we're not going to tell them what's true. Friday night, Barb was mentioning something about in certain places in Africa where the Christians became passive and tolerant and accepting of everything. And they just wanted to be nice and to be friendly and have everybody like them around them. And so they were not aggressively trying to reach people with the truth of the gospel. And the gospel message is this: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe, amen, that Jesus went to the cross for your sins, and that there is forgiveness at the cross. Amen. There is mercy at the cross. That God does love the world so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. But He went to the cross not to leave us in Egypt, but to bring us out of Egypt. And the only way out of Egypt is by the blood of the Lamb. And you've got to come to the cross, and you've got to divorce death, and you've got to turn away from sin, and you've got to embrace the cross and say, Lord, I'm with you from here on out. There's no turning back. The bridge has been burned. And that's where God's freedom comes in. Why? Because God wants you and I to be free. He wants us to be totally set free. He wants us to enjoy the abundant life that He promised. And the abundant life is at the cross. It begins at the cross. Sometimes you got to feel bad before you can feel good. Jesus prayed, John 17, 15. He says, I'm not asking you, Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world. He's praying for His disciples and praying for us too. Any more than I do. They don't belong to the world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. How many know that Jesus didn't make friends everywhere He went? Come on, how many know that Jesus offended everybody? Has Jesus ever offended you? But does Jesus love me? Yes, He does. He loves me enough to tell me the truth. Oh, see, we don't want to bear a cross. We don't want to be disliked. We don't want to be excluded. Are you with me? From the crowd. And so we make compromises. You know, all Satan wanted them to do. How many know that Pharaoh kept dealing with Moses over and over again? We're going to look at this. Trying to get Moses to lower his standard. Moses, you know, God appeared to Moses and said, I want them completely out. You're going to deliver them completely out. And they were to go a 3-day journey, remember, into the wilderness. 3 days is a good distance away from Egypt. Amen? They were not to have any ties, any tethers to the land of Egypt. God wanted them completely out. So He instructed him in Exodus 7:15. He said, go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may do what? That they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you have not heard. Where did He ask them to serve Him? We're probably saying, oh, wonderful, the wilderness. How many know the wilderness is much better than bondage? But God says, I'm going to first take them where? Into the wilderness. And this is the instructions that God gave Moses to speak to Pharaoh. But what did Pharaoh do? He refused to let the people go. So God said, okay, the rivers and the water is going to turn to blood. It's going to be in everything, in their water pots. It's going to all turn to blood. And not only that, it took frogs, a plague of frogs, of lice. Can you imagine? It says that the sand actually became lice. That's how much lice there was. The sand became lice. and flies. Everything was just completely nasty. How many know that God is trying to get somebody's attention here? And all these things happened before Pharaoh first started to say, well, maybe I better try to at least strike a deal with Moses. And so in verse 25 of Exodus 8, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and he said, all right, guys, go sacrifice to your God in the land. Go sacrifice to your God where? In Egypt, he's saying. All right, we'll compromise here, all right? You can't go, you won't go free, but I'll let you sacrifice right here in Egypt. Do you see, this is the problem right here, folks, is that a lot of people want to do the same thing. They want to worship God in Egypt. They want Egypt and the kingdom. They want Jesus and they want the world. How many know it doesn't work that way? God says, come out. Come out from among them. Come out completely. 3 days' journey, get out completely. And Pharaoh then wanted Israel to serve God where? So if he could get them to compromise, what would happen? They would have no testimony. They would have no testimony of God's greatness. How many know that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the Word or testimony? How many know that you don't have a testimony without a test? And they would end up staying tethered to Pharaoh and never completely free. And so what did Moses say in verse 27? He says, we will go 3 days' journey in the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commanded us. Now, Pharaoh wanted Israel to stay close by. That was his next thing. He says, all right, well, we'll try something else here. I'll try another curveball. I'll try another angle of trying to get Moses here to compromise. And in Exodus 8:28, he said, all right, go ahead, Pharaoh replied, I will let you go into the wilderness to sacrifices, to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God. But what did he say? But don't go too far away. Not good enough, folks. How many know that God wants you completely out? Now he's trying to strike another bargain with them, a deal. All right, just don't go completely out. Don't go too far. And then he said, what did he say? Now hurry and pray for me. A little desperation there. Now hurry and pray for me. You know, again, folks, if we continue to hold ties to the world, if we're still staying close, maybe not as close as we used to be, but we're still staying in close proximity, those ties will keep you tethered to Satan. And he'll keep you in bondage. And that's what he wants to do. He simply wants you to agree with him to strike a deal. All right, devil, I'll give you this much, but that's all you can have. How many know God doesn't want you to give him anything? And you don't have to give him an inch. You don't have to give him anything. How many know if you are a child of God today, if you receive Christ, is Christ in you? Is the Holy Spirit in you? How many know that he's greater than the one that's in the world? And the devil can't make you do anything you don't want to do. It's because we want to do it sometimes that we get into problems. All right. And so Pharaoh then came up with another idea. He thought, well, all right, we'll work out another angle here. We will use the young and old, the children and the elderly, as a bargaining chip to keep the Hebrews tethered to Egypt. And so in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 8, this is after God then sent pestilence that killed much of their livestock and boils. Can you imagine being, you know, boils all over your body and then this hail? And in verse 8, Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. He says, all right, he told them, go and worship the Lord your God. But who exactly will be going with you? You see the wheels turning, right? Pharaoh is always, he was always trying something. That's just the way the devil is. He's slick. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. Amen? We need God to help us. Because he's pretty slick. Has anybody here been duped by the devil at least once in your life? Come on. And so he's always looking for angles and ways. He's looking for weaknesses. He was probing Moses. He was trying to get him to compromise, you see. Why? Because he wanted to keep him in bondage, keep the people in bondage. And so in verse 9, Moses replied, "We will all go, young and old, our sons and daughters, our flocks and herds. We must all join together in celebrating a festival to the Lord." Now, this is what I would call truly no child left behind theology. Come on. How many know that our children go with us? Amen? How many know it's not, when they're under your roof, it's not their option? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We are responsible for our children. And they're saying, we're not leaving our children behind. He said, you guys go ahead and go out to the wilderness. You can offer your sacrifices. The strong men can go, but leave the elderly and leave the children. Why did he say that? Because he knew as long as the elderly and the children were in the land, they're not going to go very far. And they're going to be back. Does anybody know what it's like to be coming out and going back in, coming out and going back in? How many know that it doesn't work? It ain't worth it. And so this is just another attempt by Pharaoh to pressure Moses to compromise. And then finally came another judgment of hail and darkness. And so here's Pharaoh again. He called for Moses in verse 24 of chapter 10. He said, "Go and worship the Lord," he said. "But leave your flocks and herds here." He just doesn't quit. "You may even take your little ones with you." "No," Moses said. "You must provide us with animals for sacrifices and burnt offerings for the Lord our God." No deals with the devil. No sympathy for the devil. Are you with me today? "And all our livestock must go with us too. Not a hoof can be left behind. We must choose our sacrifices for the Lord our God from among these animals. And we won't know how we are to worship the Lord until we get there." Do you see the unselfishness of Moses' heart? It wasn't just about losing stuff or leaving stuff. But it was thinking about the Lord in this situation. Now we're going somewhere. Stay with me. We're going somewhere with this. Pharaoh knew that if he held back the cattle and the sheep, what do the cattle and the sheep represent? Possessions. Money. The people would not go far. How many know that God does not want us following our possessions? The cattle and the sheep are to follow us. They knew, we're just going out, amen? And our stuff is coming with us. We're not following our stuff out. We're going out, and the stuff's coming with us. Are you with me? We're seeking the kingdom of God first, and everything we have need of is going to be added unto us as well. He's not saying, you know, like in some cases, folks, we may be required to give up much. We may lose everything, including our lives. But how many know you never lose with God? Amen. You'll never lose what you give to God. He will bless it and He will multiply what you give to Him. And so what happened here? Pharaoh was trying again to get them to compromise. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, He says, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." That's the New Living Translation. I like the way it says it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart are going to be. How many know their desire was to be free? Their desire was to follow Moses out. Amen? That's what God's plan was. And Moses is saying, "I'm not going to compromise God's word, His instructions to me." Pharaoh kept trying to get him to compromise, and he says, "No way, there's no compromise here. I'm going to do exactly what God told me to do." The Bible says that Moses was the humblest man. He was the humblest man. And you see that. Why? His humility was demonstrated in the fact that he believed God and he was willing to do whatever God told him to do. How many know humility means that we're willing to do whatever God tells us to do, even at great personal cost at times? Because we fear God. What did God want to do? He wanted to save the people from the treasure. He was leading them into the wilderness. Can I suggest to you today, folks, that some of the people are being baited today with treasure in churches. They're promising treasure to people. And they're baiting it. If you do this, this is what you're going to get. If you do this, this is what you're going to get. And it all becomes, it becomes about the treasure, not about the giver of the treasure. It becomes about me and not about Him. It becomes, what can I get out of it, rather than, what can I do for you, Jesus? You did everything for me. You paid the price for me at the cross. Now I'm willing to join myself with you, amen, to bear your reproach outside the camp where you hung on that cross. I'm willing to identify with you and your death, burial, and resurrection. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm joining with you. Now I'm going to live for you, Jesus. Whatever you say is what I'm going to do, amen. I'm not following after treasure. I'm following after you, because you are my exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. And God says, I'll take care of the treasure stuff. Just seek me in my kingdom. Amen? Amen. God can bless you that way, but He didn't want their possessions to own them. Amen? So He said, just come out. Come out. And yet they knew. They come out. They said, no, you're not stealing from us. You're not taking our treasure from us. When I was putting this together, I remembered reading a book called Let My People Go. And it talks about the diaspora and when the Jews had come out and they were scattered, and how many of them, even during the time of Nazi Germany and in Poland, the Jews were very prosperous. And much of what fed the anger and the hatred towards the Jews was the fact that people were jealous, because God had prospered them wherever they went. Are you hearing this? And they were jealous of what they had. And so it just took a few people to stir things up, to get people to hate them without cause. And yet the Lord is always faithful to raise up prophets prior to something happening, to warn His people. And God had sent prophets, and they had prophesied and said, God is saying that you must come out. You must leave Germany. You must leave Poland. You must leave these places and return to the land, because judgments are coming. They were warned that if they had stayed, it would not go well with them. And many of them went to the furnaces simply because they disobeyed the word of the Lord, the admonition to leave the treasure and get out of there. They had become prosperous, and they had trusted in their wealth and the things that they owned, and they weren't willing to listen to the word of God and come out. This is a true story, folks. This is what's happened. And it may come down to you and I, where God says, you're going to have to choose between treasure and my will. How many know that God has given America a spanking? Amen. Amen? God loves us so much. He loves our nation. He wants this nation to be redeemed. He wants this nation to be restored. You and I are the ones that can make this happen. We've got to humble ourselves and seek His face and pray and turn from our wicked ways. God wants to hear from heaven, but it's going to require you and I forsaking Egypt. Amen. Moses himself, it says that he forsook the treasures of Egypt, that he might identify himself with the people of God. Why? Because he saw something greater. He saw something much far greater. Amen? He was living for eternity. How many know, just like Jesus said, that this world is not our home? When we are delivered out of Egypt, folks, we become sojourners in this world. We are a pilgrim people. We're passing through. We're not camping, amen, long term. We're setting up temporary booths here. We're on our way. We're marching to Zion. We're going for heaven, amen. Heaven's my goal. Jesus is my goal. We're living for Him. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, Hebrews 11:24, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked forward to the reward. How many are looking forward to the reward? If we're looking forward to the reward, it will be demonstrated in the way that we live our lives now. Come on. What world are we living for? Are we living for Egypt or are we living for the kingdom? Amen. Come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. Come out completely out of Egypt. Because the Lord had warned the people that he was going to pass through the land. And he said, I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. See, you know what? If Moses had compromised one iota, no one would have come out of Egypt. If Moses had compromised the word of God to appease Pharaoh, no one would be free. How many know that Moses is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ? How many know that Jesus came to this world and he lived a sinless life and he compromised not, he never compromised. He became our faithful high priest. Amen? He came as the Lamb of God. He gave his life. Amen? So that we could go free. And when the Lord sees the blood, he will what? Pass over. When he sees the blood of Jesus, he will pass over. Hallelujah. How many know, folks, that the people of Israel had a choice to make? They could be brought out, but they had the option to return. And unfortunately, many did not leave Egypt behind in their hearts. They physically came out, but their hearts were always longing to go back to that life. And as long as you have affection, as long as you have tethers or ties to that world and to that way and to that life and my desires and my ways, how many know you're going to remain bound and you'll never be free? You've got to completely come out. Completely out. Divorce death. I'm all in, Jesus. When they left Egypt, they were supposed to eat quickly. Amen. In haste, they were supposed to eat the Passover. They were supposed to have their belts on, their loins girt about, as it talks about. So what? So that they would not be encumbered, so that they could run if they needed to. Amen? Because the robes would trip them up, so they would gird their loins so that they could run. And they needed to take a staff in their hand as well. What is a staff for? It's not for a pillow. A staff is for walking. Amen? We are to be serving. We are to be living for Him. We are to be walking with Jesus out, completely out of Egypt. Amen? And into the wilderness, where we will learn His faithfulness. We will learn that God is who He says He is. That we will learn to hear His voice. That we will know that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from our God. We will know that our God is faithful. He's calling us to join Him. It's in the wilderness where we'll be nourished by Him. We'll be provided for. Here, we have no continuing city. And I'm going to finish with this, Hebrews 13:13. So let us go out to Him, Jesus, outside the camp, and bear the disgrace He bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. Amen. Amen.